Blog Talk Radio.
Good giblets. I've had a full night's rest. It's a cloudy sky. I am partially cloudy with the weather. Mother Nature can't make up her mind. But anyways, on today's show, we will be joined by our guest today, Blackest Jack. And you will hear me blab on about why or what I think of AEW doing two shows. Some may say it's a gold mine. Some may say let them do two shows. I say let bygones be bygones. Let's, you know, just, it's 2019. Professional wrestling is, you know, obviously really, really evolved itself. And you'll just hear me, my thoughts on what's good about having two shows a week and what's bad about, you know, having all this wrestling shoved in our face. No, nothing's bad about that. Nothing at all. Nothing of the sorts. So I have 4 minutes till our guest calls in. And I must say, folks, Monday Night Raw, to me, sitting there for 3 hours watching the shit unfold, I didn't really mind some of it, but some of it was really hard to follow. The fatal five-way, you know, elimination match. There's always a pattern with certain wrestling bookings, and one of those is when it's a, you know, bigger brand, you know, main roster type thing. I don't know about the fatal five-way. I mean, you have all that superstardom in the ring at the same time. You had Shinsuke Nakamura, Robert Roode. You had AJ Styles, Rey Mysterio. You had plenty of guys in there that were star quality. And I know I didn't mention the fifth person because, well, like I said, it was very hard to keep track of. And parts of it was just like, okay, I don't know whether to be like, oh, yeah, this person got eliminated. Okay, cool. I thought AJ Styles and Seth Rollins were going to face each other. I thought wrong. Rey Mysterio, who's still going, you know, still kicking, still making it happen. We thank him for doing so. But at the same time, it's like, I don't know. I have question marks about Rey. Not in ability, but in the sense that, you know, can he put on a decent show with Seth Rollins? Don't know the answer to that question because next week on the premiere of Monday Night Raw, because it'll be on Fox, this is the last, by the way, SmackDown Live on USA Network, because USA Network will have NXT for an hour, and it will also have NXT on the WWE Network. And if you have not signed up for that, you can do so by visiting the website, WWE.com. Go under Network, your first month free. You must have a valid email address and password. After your first month, you will be charged $9.99. If you do not have a valid debit or credit card, you can go to your local dollar shops, Dollar Generals, GameStops, Walmarts, 7-Elevens, Best Buys. And you can definitely get them at FYE. So show some love to the WWE Network. For those of you wanting to get more information, you can visit the website and call the number. They are open till 7 p.m. Well, ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the show, Blackest Jack. How are you doing, man?
Good, good. How are you doing?
I'm doing great, sir. So, first things first, I know a lot of people on Instagram were asking, like, what's the deal with the name Blackest Jack? Obviously, derived that inspiration from Cactus Jack and Mick Foley, but what made you decide to choose the name Blackest Jack in the first place?
I did not pick my name at all.
You did not?
I actually had damn near nothing to do with, you know, I just happened to be there. It was at a Bill DeMott seminar, August of 2017, I believe. Was it 16 or 17? Let's say 16, just for craps and giggles. He saw me in the ring, and I was doing extra training while they was on break. It was a three-day seminar. And I literally was running the ropes, and I was sweaty, and my hair was all crazy, and my beard was all crazy. And, like, he stops. He's sitting in a chair, and it was somebody that works at – used to work at AML named Jarvis, and this guy named Boss Hogg. He's really big in North Carolina, whatever, and a great wrestler. So Jarvis is black, and Boss Hogg is light-skinned, so we always crack on each other, you know. And so Boss Hogg calls me Black Ass. And then Jarvis says, yep, Black Ass Jack. So Boss Hogg says, Black Ass Jack. So Bill DeMott, he laughs, says, wait, that's it. And in the most New Jersey accent that he could possibly have, he said, that's it. That's your name, kid. Blackest Jack. And the way you're going to spell it, and he does the little Donald Trump finger thing, hand thing, he's like, B-L-A-Q-T-U-S. And I'm like, okay. So everybody just looks at me as if I'm like, I had told him, I was like, I'm kind of looking for something that'll pop, something that's cool, you know, because before my name was Feral Demented. So, yeah, that's the day he gave me the name Blackest Jack. It had nothing to do with Mick Foley at all.
Wow, that's actually surprising.
He just saw my hair. I wasn't wearing a flannel or anything. He just saw my hair and he saw me.
That's an interesting story because, Bill DeMott and I are from the same region in the East Coast, except for I'm not New Jersey, I'm New York. But that's interesting that he picked your gimmick name like that.
Yeah, I mean, it's interesting because most of the stuff that people say, oh, you stole this and you stole that, I've actually been given damn near my whole gimmick and most of my moveset from veterans that are well-respected in the business. That's why I just look at people like, how can you say I stole something when it was given to me by this person or this or that, you know? Like, I've spoke to a lot of people who have 20, 30, 40 years in the business, and they love the gimmick. So if somebody who hasn't, you know, really done anything just tells me, oh, well, you're a ripoff, I'm just like, yeah, but people are into my gimmick, you know?
I got to get your opinion, sir, because, I always tell fans, like, if it wasn't for you, yes, we wouldn't be here. But in some instances, what gets on your nerves when the sparks come at you and be like, well, you're just rip off, you're this, that, the other? What really grates on your everlasting nerve about fans in general? Like, what really grates your nerves when you hear them talk?
Actually, it's not the fans that get on my nerves at all. You know, they pay their money. If you go work a 40-hour job and you got a sick kid and a wife and this, that, and the other, and you use wrestling as a family event or you use it to step outside of your world and suspend reality, you know, like, that's how some people use wrestling. There's actually a lot of other wrestlers that annoy me more than fans, to be honest.
What can you – I mean, I'm not going to dip, but I'm kind of a broadcast journalist in a sense. I don't have a journalism degree. But when you say other wrestlers annoy you, is it like the I know this business type angle or –
Not just that, but the whole – it's like okay, so this is how I kind of knew this question was gonna come, but this is how I put it. So imagine you're stuck inside of a building, right? Now you see somebody come through the front door, right? But then you see somebody come from behind you, right? They got in the building. They all three of y'all are all in the same building, right? But you didn't see the other one come in, but he's right there with you, right? So does that mean there's no other door, or did he break in, or how did he get in? But he's right there with you. So did he get in the right way? Did he get in your way, or did he create his own way to get in? You know, like, people, it amazes me the things that people get upset about. And no, I'm not one of those guys. I'm not bitter at the veterans. I'm not bitter at the so-called greenies, because I'm one of those. I'm going to stay a greenie. As long as there's something to learn in wrestling, trust me, I'm going to stay a greenie. I don't want to be one of these old people who have a bunch of regret in their eyes, because that's the worst thing you can see on a man or a woman that's above the age of any age is regret. You know, like, people get mad because you didn't get it the way they got it, you know. Like, I don't get that. Like, because I do, what? I didn't get it how you got it? Oh, because I work for this company and you work for that company, so we're supposed to be enemies? I'm sorry, I'm an independent wrestler. I ain't got a contract with nobody. You know, like, it's people take stuff so personally. That's why I don't, if somebody asks me for advice, that's fine, but I'm not going to ever just freely speak on, oh, well, this wrestler is this. No, like, no. Hell no.
I feel you on that aspect, dude. You know what the saying is like, we're in this business together, because actually, Brutal Bob Evans just basically posted something that said, you know, should I talk about others? Does it do me any good? No. Do I make a dime or a penny after I do it? No. So it's best, you know, just to keep to, you know, yourself when you're in this business, because word gets out, you can get in big trouble if you're what, you know, talking a whole bunch of mess. So, I mean, Uncle Bob, Rule Bob Evans, you know, he gives out sound advice about, if you're in this business and you're just starting out, you want to make a good impression to not only the promoter but the other people around you. Yeah, there's some snakes in the wrestling business, and you and I dealt with different wavelengths of said snakes on a whole different level. We're not here to talk about that. So what inspired you to become a professional wrestler in the first place?
It was actually one of my family members that I really looked up to, he got me into bocce wrestling when I was very young, and he actually died in 97, and I've always wanted to wrestle, but when I left Greensboro to join the Army in 2006, there were no wrestling schools in this area, and I couldn't afford, you know, like, I couldn't afford, like, to go as far as I wanted to go. And, you know, I had always wanted to join the military, so that's what I did. And, you know, when I got out 2012, you know, I started looking, and finally I was able to start training in 2015, January 27th.
That's cool. So, well, which wrestler inspired you during your wrestling training that made you go, yeah, I want to be just like this guy. I think his style is really the best.
Actually, when I started, I've always been open-minded, because, like, you know, my top five wrestlers are so weird, and people just don't understand, like, how do you like this one and this one? They're all different. Like, the only thing they have in common is they're all wrestlers. That's it. Like, my top five wrestlers are so weird. Like, I just like different stuff, you know?
But do you, like, have any specific wrestlers that you, like, want to list out that, like, embodies your style or your type of style that you go in the ring with? Like, gimmick-wise, like, who who do you embody the most that you're trying to sell to the audience? Like, hey, I want you to think that I'm a blend of this person, that person, and the other person.
I don't personally see it, but a lot of people say because we're kind of built the same a little bit, and we both, like, they say we kind of look alike. Lord, I hope he'll kill me for this. I actually love Willie Mac's style because I think he can do everything. You know, like,
cool.
I used to, like, when I first met him, I thought that there was kind of heat there because, like, the first time I met him, like, people would always say that we kind of looked alike. And the first time I got in the ring, somebody actually said, at first I didn't know who he was because I wasn't really big on independent wrestling. But, like, they were, oh, you move like him because you can flip and do this. And I was 315 pounds doing a standard moonsault. And I was 315 pounds doing a crossbody off the second rope. Or because I was doing crossbodies off the top rope, you know. Or because I was flipping off the second rope doing whatever, you know. But, yeah, that's because he can do everything. And for his size, that's very impressive.
Okay. So I always ask the wrestlers a question, like, because you come across the crazy fans and crazy whatnots. What's the craziest thing that a fan has ever told you that made you look at them and be like, okay, I'm just going to go to the ring now and make you laugh when you get to the back?
Let's see. Jesus. Oh, God. actually, it wasn't that bad. This fan told me that they didn't think I could actually talk. Like, because for the longest time, my gimmick didn't talk. So they were like, they didn't think I could talk. They legit thought I was, like, mute or something. Like, and then they was like, you can actually articulate your thoughts. And I was like, why would you think I couldn't talk? And they was like, because how you act in the ring. Another one was this guy actually, I was taking a picture with this lady, and it was the second time. It was actually a WVCW, and I didn't know it was his wife. I thought it was, like, his daughter or something, you know, and I didn't know. So I was like, so I'd taken a picture with her before, and I always come up with original ways to take pictures. So I was like, who's that? She's like, that's my husband. I was like, oh, I'm sorry. He's like, no, it's fine. He'll be okay. So then, like, we're taking a picture, and it's all, you know, whatever. And he's like, he tells his wife to look me in the eyes lovingly, and I was like, wait, what? I was thrown off because I was like, wait a minute, what? But I actually had a wrestler that asked me, he wanted to buy my shirt, one for him and one for his wife. And he said, next time I see you at a show, I want you to give her a big hug and take a picture with her while she has your shirt on. Oh, that's cool. You know, it's just like, you know, as long as I can give them the experience they want, I'm happy.
That's definitely interesting. So I got to, okay, so another family question. What's the most annoying process that you've ever had to go through as a professional wrestler, traveling wise, working someone wise, like what really got you worked up and like, man, if I have to do this again, I'm never ever going to try this process or go through this ever again?
The most annoying process is when you're waiting to hear back from a promoter as far as getting a chance to come back. Or if somebody doesn't tell you what you did wrong or how you did this, or, you know, like, I'm all about, you know, education and knowledge. So if somebody tells me I did something wrong, I'm going to do my best to, you know, if I ever, like they told me, if I ever do something in a match and they say, hey, why'd you do that? And I say, I don't know. I stopped doing it. You don't see me do it again. Or if I do it again, it's gotten better and I improved on it. So the most annoying part is waiting for to hear back from promoters or, you know, trying to be being yourself and people just like rejecting who you are as a person for no reason other than just because no reason, you know.
Let's see. How do you feel about, you know, the contrast between AEW and WWE? Do you think that it's a good thing for wrestling to have, you know, competing brands? Or do you, you know, think that, let's see here. Do you think that it's going to be like the wrestling wars before with WWE? But what's your overall thoughts on AEW and WWE competing against one another?
I think the more that people can take care of their families, and this isn't just a political answer, this is literally how I feel about it. I feel like the more wrestling there is, the better. But also when you have people that can perform to that level. And also, you know, having more companies, people are like, oh, well, da da da. You might oversaturate it. But here's the thing, you got to think WWE puts out about 10 to 12 hours of new content every week. You know, it's nice to have competition because I am a product of the Attitude Era. I love the Attitude Era. You know, I feel like there's issues with WWE and AEW, you know. And it's like comparing Jim Cornette to the Young Bucks or Jim Cornette to Kenny Omega. There are some people who just like what they like, and they're never going to like this style of wrestling nowadays, you know. Some people are unable to... Sorry, that was my phone. Some people are just unable to envision anything outside of WWE, so they don't know anything outside of WWE. You know, it's always a good thing when there's competition, because if you can't survive competition, are you really good at what you do?
That's true, because I happen to be in attendance at Hall of Fame in Barclays, where I live, and when the AEW chants were already going. I think this is the next question. It's going to segue into the next question. Triple H said, okay, that's cute. You know, you're chanting their name, but when we outright own their company in 5 years, I think he was just saying, you know, to just combat the fan chants. But my next question to you is, do you think, and I've asked some wrestlers this question, do you think AEW kind of mirrors WWE in a way? And the women have come out there, their brand is not brand new, but they have a whole bunch of different style of wrestlers and wrestling stuff that they bring to the table. Do you think that they, in a way, be like, how do I word this? Do you think that they are the mirror image of what WCW once was back when it was the Monday Night Wars? Do you think that they bring something different to the table, or do you think that they're kind of similar in a way?
I think the only thing that they have in common is that they both are going to be on TNT or were on TNT. Because I feel like the issue with WCW, if you want to be honest, they lean too much on stars from the 80s and before, you know. That's why they had certain legends on contracts. And it's like, you know, I love these guys, but I don't want to see them past a certain point because the quality of what they're bringing ain't the same. You know, you're going to have to do too much hiding the weaknesses. And then when you hide that weakness, it's like a boat with 15 holes at the bottom of it. Are you going to try, keep watching the boat sink or let it sink and just swim to shore? Like, it gets to a point where it's like, okay, this is pointless. Abandon ship, you know? Like, they lean too much on certain people. And then, like, I feel like the biggest star that came out of WCW was not very good, in my opinion. This is just my opinion, and people can disagree. I feel like Bill Goldberg was the biggest star to come out of WCW, but he was not. I didn't really like his matches as a child because I've always been a fan of the Ric Flair Steamboat type of matches, you know, where it took time to tell a story. You know, it was nothing for them to do an hour long match, you know. Like, those the stuff that I like. You know, I like the Luke Thayer type of match. I watched Luke Thayer's match a while ago, and the first 18 minutes, all they did was lock up, headlock, drop toe hold. You know, they worked the headlock for damn near 18 minutes, and I was fairly entertained. And, you know, but everybody has their opinions. You know, WCW, I just hope – the one thing I hope AEW don't do is just start snatching up a bunch of WWE talent, and then it's going to be like, you know, you're copying the same formula, you know. But if they could beat WWE in the ratings awards, you know, then they'll be like, hey, you know, that'll be cool. But it won't affect me, so I'll be like, huh, okay. Plus, me, myself, personally, I only really watch indie wrestling because everybody tries to do everything they see on WWE, and that annoys me, too.
Well, I mean, this is the next thing that I was going to ask you is, like, do you think, like, certain indie promotions try to style their format, like, you know, with 15 to 17-minute promos, and then, you know, they try too hard, you know, to format it just like WWE, and it's like, come on, man. I've been to certain promotions. I'm not going to name promotions to keep the, you know, professionalism up, but I noticed from wherever I've been, it's been a pattern of let's add, you know, a 12 to 17 minute promo in length, and then let's add a legend name like Cowboy Bob Orton, or, you know, good names like $1 Man, Ted DiBiase. Some promotions do a really good job, but then other times, you know, it feels like the old adage goes, like, you don't need to talk to tell the story. Now, if you're a heel, fine. If you're a baby face, sure, to add response. But I want to get your thoughts on that, since you just said, you know, you try to format it too much, too similar to WWE. Like, I want you to elaborate a little bit more. Like, if a product
I feel like
is trying to emulate a big company, do they have the firepower, or...
You said, do they have the firepower to do it?
Yeah, do some companies have the firepower to...
Hell no.
The big...
Here's the thing.
Yep.
Here's the thing.
If you
have the firepower to be like WWE, you are WWE. You know, like, people... let's use myself for an example, right? People want to be attached to something. You know what I'm saying? Like, there are certain fans in North Carolina who have seen me from my first match to my last match. And they're like, I like your growth. I like this, that, and the other. And they're diehard fans, and they'll support it. I'm not going to walk around as if I'm a WWE star, because I'm not. And that's the problem with certain companies in certain places, you know. Like, just because you have a good production, you got to have good wrestlers, too. Just because if you have good wrestlers, that's a start. But you can't have shitty wrestlers with a great promotion. That's like putting a pig on, that's like putting a suit on a pig and calling in a lawyer. Like, no. Like, there should not be that much break in action. You know, like, I don't think an indie show, honestly, in my opinion, should be more than 2.5 to 3 hours if it's a really good show. You know, anything more than that, sort of like, okay, what are we really doing? And this is all my opinion. If you think you want to, if your fans enjoy a 5-hour show and you have 600 to 1,500 people, okay, hey, great. But if you got people leaving before your main event, it's sort of like, okay, what am I doing wrong? What are we doing wrong? You know, some people, some promotions, they just because you have a name, that doesn't mean you have a name. You know what I'm saying? Like, if I'm, for example, if I'm, who can I use? If I'm Kurt Angle and you pay me $15,000 to come wrestle in your garage, guess what? I'm going to wrestle in your garage. That don't mean your garage is a promotion that can be successful. You know what I'm saying? Like, you got to think logically, like, hey, what's the budget? What's the production? How does this look? How does that look? How can I fix this? How can I fix that? You know, stuff just got to make sense. Like, you can't just throw up a tent and be like, oh, well, yeah, this is going to be great. You know, like, what are the fans interested in?
Some do, you know, like, the shows outside still gain an audience. But it's just, I to me, dude, like, it's a flavor of ice cream type thing. Like, if it's a show, it's a show to me. But to me, like, if you're going to throw a show outside in the parking lot or next to a restaurant and you get an audience, hey, more power to you. But if you do a show that's, like you said, if you just throw a tent up there and be like, hey, professional wrestling. Like, I saw a clip that made me die laughing. They did a show outside on a lake. And the funny thing is, like, I don't know how you got the ring all the way out there without, you know, like, you set up an outside. And did you drown yourselves? I mean, I just started laughing because I could not stop. I was like, I've seen shows done at beaches before. I've seen shows done at community centers. That's not uncommon. But you're right. You know, you have to think logically. You can't just throw a tent up or throw one out in the middle of the lake and be like, hey, I have a wrestling show. If I gain a crazy enough audience to see this on the dock, they can see it from afar and film this disaster, you know? But I got to get your opinion on this. So if you see lately that people have been posting, like, oh, this is low attendance, the show barely starts, that doesn't really show any sign of anything at all. If the show has, like, been going on and it shows that less of attendance, so what's your opinion on low attendance? Do you still go, you know, give it your all as a wrestler if they're not?
How loyal are those? No, I'm sorry.
Well, like, my question is, like, how, like, those people that post the pictures on Instagram, like, look at the attendance, look at the attendance. It's like, dude, the show has barely fucking began. Like, pardon my French, but we were, okay, so it was at Madison Square Garden, and I just happened to catch somebody taking a picture. I'm like, so, dude, what's up? And he's like, do you see how low this has been? It's like, no, dude, there's, like, about to be 18,000 people that are just filing in. He's like, well, I'm going to post on Instagram, show how low attendance is. I said, what are you doing? Like, I mean, what are your opinion on people like that? They just want to grab attention for themselves by showing how low the attendance, you know, at a WWE or any wrestling event is. I think it's disrespectful, in my opinion, that people do that. But I want to get your opinion on the people that do that kind of thing.
Everybody wants to meet me from Missouri. I say that because show me, attention. It's like, that's annoying, but I can see why. You know, we allow people to do so much. Like, if you worried about an attendance at a wrestling show instead of the wrestling, why are you at the wrestling show? You know, like, I will never go to a wrestling show and be like, oh, they ain't got that many people there. You know what I'm saying? Like, so, you know,
I've seen many, many people who are considered legends in the business who wrestle for WWE, WCW, whatever, and the promoter may not have promoted the show right, or the booker didn't put them against somebody that was decent, or something happened, you know, and maybe there was only 3 people in the crowd, or 10 people in the crowd, or there was a guy who, it was quite a few years ago, he was charging like $70 a ticket because he brought all these legends, and because so many people on Facebook said that they was going to the show, like, he thought he was going to have like 1,500 people there, and only like 200 showed up, but the names he had on there were certified legends. You know, like, I don't, me, as even when I go to a show as a fan, I'm not going to sit up there and be like, oh, they got low attendance. I don't care whether it's 2 people, whether it's 10 people. You know, like, everybody deserves to be entertained. I'm more worried about, okay, is this good wrestling or is this a pile of shit? Like, honestly, like, oh, so that backyarder is going to bash this backyarder upside the head with this. Why? Are they in a storyline? Is there a heat? Like, give me the history, you know? Like, you're not just going to bash me upside the head because, doggone, somebody wants to see it, you know? Like, it's got to make sense. That's, like, that's common sense is like find a unicorn. It's like, let's make sense. Like if you are an indie promotion, why are you trying to do WWE format, right? If you know you ain't got a weekly show. You know what I'm saying? You don't have a weekly show. You could tell a story in a match and only take 10 minutes. You can do it in 7 minutes. Hell, you can even do it in 5 if you do it right. But,
yep.
You know, let's make sense of this. Like, you don't have a weekly show. You don't have 10, 12 hours of content every week coming out. You know, like, come on, let's make sense. Like,
that's what I'm trying to tell people is, like, you have to tell the fans a story in order for you to, you know, like, continue, like, the 3 hours from Monday Night Raw. Now, sometimes it is a drag, you know, when you're at home and you watching a show, but, like, when you live, like, okay, I went to a Ring of Honor show at Madison Square Garden. I can tell you, like, the match between Jushin Thunder Liger and Tajiri. Wow. What, you know, like, what story do they sell? They started off slow a little bit, then, you know, they mirrored each other in moves, and then they quickened the pace a little bit, you know, with kicks and blocks and all this stuff, and all suplexes and high-flying maneuvers from Tajiri. It was a roller coaster because it started off slow, got up to the top of the hill, and really, you know, at the end, the waterfall effect, boom. It made all of us at MSG, because we're very picky in the East Coast. We pretty much, I can just admit to you, like, we will nitpick every little thing and be like, but you see, this is why they did it this way, blah, blah, blah. And I'll tell you one instance that's probably going to make you laugh your ass off, because one dude was trying to impress his girl, was watching a match, and goes, you see, that's what I put the baby faces with the baby faces and the heels with the heels. I said, so I turned to homeboy and I said, are you a worker? Are you a former worker? Is that what you're trying to, you know, get laid tonight? Is that why you're trying to make an impression on your girl? It's like, please shut the hell up. I'm trying to watch the match. I'm not trying to have flashbacks of being in the locker room with professional wrestling at the Indies. I was like, I'd appreciate it if you shut your cake hole, please, and just watch the show. Like, what is the biggest thing that, like, if you're just watching a show, dude, at a WWE level or higher level, one fan just sits there and starts spouting off wrestling terms, does that get on your nerves or do you just ignore them?
I literally ignore them, because here's the thing. We live in a world where I can self-identify as a mailbox, and nobody can argue with me that I'm not a mailbox. Literally.
Like,
the fans, there are so many strange, weird, different people out here. Pretty much nothing, nobody, Nothing surprises me for the simple fact that anything that can happen in life can happen in wrestling. That's why, that's why this year, and I might go off the rails a little bit, but I was thinking about this like last week or whatever. That's why there are so many criminals in wrestling who can decide your fate. That's why, this person's a pedophile. Oh, y'all knew that. Oh, because he had a big name, y'all didn't want to say nothing. You know, like, that's what it is. Like, we live in a world where if you good at what you do, they'll overlook it no matter what. I literally watched a whole doggone video of about 20 to 30 wrestlers and celebrities who should have been in jail a long time ago, but that's the world we live in. You know, like, people got their opinion. People have their opinion, and they can self-identify as whatever they want and come to shows, and then you can't do nothing to them because, oh, my God, you'll get in trouble, even though they spit and threw water on you. So then, like, oh, you're getting too much heat. Okay, but what about back in the 70s and 80s and hell, even sometimes in the 90s when people was getting stabbed and threatened to get shot at? And I thought, so what is too much, you know? Like, what is too much? I guarantee you, if everybody on Twitter said, oh, Daniel Bryan should be fired for whatever, whatever, I guarantee you he would be fired because that's how much power they've allowed people to get from social media.
I agree with you 100% because there have been incidents online in the previous years with Jessica Havoc saying something to a fan that was considered, you know, a little bit too far, too extreme, and it was. But not just her, but, you know, there's certain things that people will say to a fan because fans will try their damnedest to get under people's skin. But it's not, you know, it's not all bad. Like, certain fans do certain cool things, like, hey, you know, I was too nervous to talk to you. Like, one fan, I guess, was in a department store at a mall, and they saw Johnny Gargano, and they said, I was too shy. Like, damn my shyness. You know, I really wanted to talk to you. And Gargano tweeted back saying, you know, all you had to do was say hello. Like, we would have said hello back, and we would have taken a picture with you and whatnot. I think that was, like, I think some interactions between fans and wrestlers are cool. But then there's, you know, your Kevin Owens. Kevin Owens I love because he'll put logic into effect, and people don't realize you have to have logic in order to survive some people. And by logic meaning, like, if you think you're going to get one leg up over a professional wrestler who's been around for, like, 15, 20-plus years, not just Kevin Owens, there's people that will always, like I said, always try to get that one leg up on a professional wrestler. It's, you're right. There's the power of social media. Well, he said something to me. He literally said something so wrong, I was offended. You know, could you please talk to him? It just gets, you know, it's out of control.
You know, and that's crazy that you mentioned her. She is actually one of my favorite female wrestlers.
Who, Jessie?
No, Jessica.
No, Jessica Havoc.
Jessica Havoc.
Yes.
Like, it's the fact that people will literally go through 10 years worth of information on your Twitter line just to find something that you did wrong is not only sad, but it just shows how sad people are. Like, they got mad at Seth Rollins like 2 years ago because something he tweeted in 2011, and I'm like, that's 6-7 years ago. Who cares? You know, that's just like the Jesus. Anyway, I don't understand. Like, that's the part of the business I don't understand. You know, I don't understand the whole racial divide. The whole, oh, you, like, it's too many indie promotions for y'all, for people to be like, oh, well, you can't work for this one, or you can't be here, or you can't do that. And it's like, are you paying my bills, or is there a contract in place somewhere? You know, I actually heard a booker say that. He's like, dude, don't get paid nothing for this, and ain't nobody under contract. They can work where they want to, you know? Like, some people literally act like they own you if, doggone, you wrestle for them. And that's weird to me, like, free. Or I could go over here and get this money and work for a better crowd. You know, like, what makes sense, you know? And sometimes, no, it's not about the money. Sometimes, okay, if you got 1,500 people over here and I got good merchandise, and you say, hey, you know, I can't afford to pay you much, so I'll take $25 because I know I'm gonna sell at least 500 T-shirts. Do you think I'm a dog gonna go over here for this $40? No, like, it's all about building your brand and what you believe in. You know, that's why, like, it's funny because, like, once a week I'll do, like, homage to Charles Manson, you know, and people will legit inbox me, like, are you okay? Are you suicidal? I'm like, I'm fine. Like, social media to me is funny because I use it as it should be used. I laugh at it. And most times I'm supporting other wrestlers. So it's like, I rarely ever put my personal opinion, and I never share memes because, like, okay, if I go down my timeline, I see the same meme 10 damn times. I'm like, I'm not going to be a follower like that. I laugh at it and keep strolling. I don't have time. I have very short patience for a lot of stuff.
I like that. So I'm going to have two more questions. So obviously, so as a worker, like, where would be the dream arena or dream place to wrestle in for family, friends, the whole nine, if you had to pick?
I would actually choose if I want to wrestle in the Tokyo Superdome in the Greensboro Coliseum. And if I had to pick number three, it'd be Madison Square Garden.
A lot of people pick the Garden just because, like I say, we're very nitpicky in New York, and people don't realize, like, when you hit MSG, Madison Square Garden, that's like the pinnacle for some. And some is just like, oh, it's just another arena. What the hell, man? I always tell people, when you walk in, it looks like a thing, but when you walk up the stairs, see the old speaker system still there. Like, I mean, it's been revamped. It's been redone, MSG has. But, like, I remember as a kid watching wrestlers and being like, man, it'd be great to be there one day. So that's cool. If you had to pick one of the last questions is, if you had to pick a dream opponent to wrestle at WrestleMania, who would it be and why?
It would be a triple threat between me, Timmy Lou Rand, and Sami Callihan.
That's interesting that you mentioned those names because I will be going to Revolver on October 4th on Tales from the Ring. So, Sami Callihan, oh my goodness, you wanted a triple threat, that's pretty cool. Any stipulation that you would add to the match to make it, you know, all the more better?
It would definitely be Blackest Jack Rules.
Before you go,
because I can literally get the best of both worlds, because, you know, Timmy Luke can flip, you know, but I can do the hardcore thing. Sami Callihan is hardcore and doesn't do any flip, but I can flip and do the hardcore thing. Oh, I would love it. Oh my God. I would take the biggest bump in the world, and I wouldn't even, I'd be like, you know what? I'm in heaven right now. Oh my God.
So
I have a question for you, if you don't mind.
Yeah, sure. Go ahead.
What are some good promotions in New York?
Do what now?
What are some good independent promotions in New York?
Some good independent promotions in New York? Not so much New York, but I would go all the way to Jersey for Monster Factory. That's the one I mainly follow.
Oh, hell yeah, Danny Cage, yes.
Yes, because Danny, to me, is a purist. You know, like, in New York, there's a lot of promotions in Brooklyn. There's one outside the Bronx. Obviously, a friend of mine, Luke Langley, went out there with Graham Bell. He goes out there all the time to the East Coast. But to me, dude, you want to know where it's at, Monster Factory, because it doesn't matter who you are. He will tell you, you know, to your face, good, bad, ugly, hey, you know, you need to improve upon this, you need to do that. Not only to improve upon this, but, like, their shows that they put on Fridays and Saturdays, I like to, you know, I would like to go out there again and see one of Danny's double shows. Or it's just New York to me, like, okay, House of Glory, everyone knows about House of Hardcore. There's a slew of independent promotions out there that I don't advise against. It's just, I mean, those are just the promotions I know of that I've seen. Friends of mine have brought me to, and I said, why did you bring me to this one? Well, you said you wanted to go to wrestling. I said, I thought you meant Ring of Honor, House of Hardcore, House of Glory. House of Glory is widely known. I went to one of their promotions in Queens. So,
yeah, because the only one I knew up there was Gimmick Tree.
Oh, well, there's, yeah, see, they got Combat, or CZW, that's in Philly, okay, then MLW, which, okay, fine, Shikara, that's Quackenbush, Dragon Gate, Top, you know, House of Glory, see, a lot of my, the fans were sending was like, you don't know any promotions out in New York? It's like, yeah, I live there. It's just like someone asking me, so you never go to Manhattan? It's like, I pass it by when I go to work, yeah, but I don't like congregating out there too often because then I have to play tour guide, and I freaking hate that. It's like, so do you know which train connects to this train? Do you know if you transfer out? I was like, they say it on the trip. I literally tell them in a nice way, I'm like, do you have Google Maps? Because, like, Google Maps was like your, like, your outlet, like what platform you're supposed to stand under. And this one guy was coming home from Barclays, and he goes, well, how do I get, you know, to up, you know, to Coney Island? I was like, you just simply take a Q or a B train. I was like, or you can take an F train. You can take a 1, a 2, a 6 train. I was like, dude, you seriously just asked that question? Because he was home from Barclays.
Brother,
and
you are,
I'm trying to get to.
You are so New York. I love it.
I'm like, I just, to me,
you are so New York. It's awesome. I love it.
Like, I straight up tell people, I'm like, how do we get from this bus? You know, it's like, this bus shuts down at midnight. If you want to take an Uber ride, you're more than welcome to. There's a taxi cab place that's right across King's Highway. This person was afraid. I said, they take cash only. There's an ATM at the deli. It's like, how do you know so much? It's like, dude, I fucking live here. Like, how do you not, if you live in a place that you're not familiar with, like, how are you not fucking familiar? Come on. Like, oh, my Lord.
Mm.
There's some instances in wrestling where fans be like, I heard one, like, I ignore, like, the terms, but it really bugs me when they talk about themselves. I'm like, I don't use the term marks because I think it's very hateful. But as a former worker, when I hear other fans use, oh, well, the marks are ruining for everyone, it's like, you just ran up to Sasha Banks and Bray Wyatt, and you ran up to people, like, you don't have manners? Like, if someone runs up to you at dinner time, like, are you going to want to sign autographs? And he goes, I might. I was like, no, let me put it to you this way. If you're eating in a restaurant and you want to be left alone and you don't want anybody to bother you, do you, A, wait till the person finishes their fucking food, or, 2, you wait, you know, you do it while they're eating their food? he goes, well, I was like, if you have to think on that question, you're fucking retarded. I personally would not want to be bothered by Asa or whatever.
Oh, my God. I love it.
Oh, my God. Like, you know, that is so funny. Do you know I got a speech because I said that word to somebody? I got a whole speech because I said that word. Now, growing up, that's just how we talked. You know what I'm saying? Oh, you're retarded. That's how we talked. It wasn't a derogatory term at all, you know? Now you say it, it's like, oh, my God, let's throw him out somewhere. Oh, my God. You definitely popped me with that one.
It's just like, okay, so when people say things like, well, I bet you every New Yorker's rude, it's like, no, that's not, I hate that funny thing. They're like, well, where do you go for wrestling? Like, you asked me, and I said, well, I sent a link to a few of them, and the dude's like, oh, thank you, I'll take a look at it. But then WrestleCon comes around, and this person goes, oh, suggestions, and I said, what did I do? He goes, well, you sent me a link, and I just said, thanks, dude. I'm trying to, like, sit on my train and go to work here. I don't need to be bothered. You're welcome, I guess. You know? And just, like, the thing is, like, they ask, which airport's cheaper? I'm like, well, the shitty one is, you know, obviously LaGuardia. The craptastic, snobby, snooty one is JFK. You know?
I love wrestling.
That's why I'm saying, like, people ask, like, how do you get from point A to point B without strangling someone? I was like, first of all, which borough did you go through? Because I'm going to be generally biased because I'm from Brooklyn, okay? They're like, well, we tried to go through Queens, and I said, there's your fucking problem right there. You know? You tried to go through Queens? Like, no, bro. I don't think you get it. There's going to be issues if you try to go through Queens and take a taxi, or if you try and take an Uber, because they charge you on the wait time, everyone. It doesn't matter where you are. But anyways, to wrap this up, so is there any, like, social media platforms that you want to plug to all the fans listening out there, you know, Instagram, Twitter, Facebook, where they can reach you, how they can get a hold of you?
Yes, everything is Blacktus. Facebook, Blacktus Jack. Twitter, at Blacktus, B-L-A-Q, like Bill DeMott said, T-U-S. Instagram is the same. Instagram, Twitter. Yeah. That's all my social medias. I have a lot of social media. But yeah, those three.
All right, sir. Well, is there any shout-outs you'd like to give to the family members or anybody listening to the podcast at home?
No, I don't like people like that. Shout out to Damian Wayne, who I get to kick him in the forehead next Friday, next Saturday night.
All right. Well, dude, thank you for being on the show, Wrestle Radio Network. You can download the episode after it airs a couple hours, you know, iTunes for free, or you can stream it live however you care on your mobile device. Thanks, dude, for your time right here on Wrestle Radio. Thanks, Blacktus, so much.
Thank you, sir.
All right, have a good day, sir. All right. All right, so that was Blacktus Jack. We thank him for his time on Wrestle Radio Network. We're going to jump right into the show that it has explicit content. If you have small children, please tell them not to repeat the shit that I fucking say. See, I just dropped an F-bomb and I said the word shit. If you have any small children, please plug their ears with the earphones, not listening to this show that is mature audiences only. This show was coined and actually not coined. It was dubbed on March 7, 2016, officially. Any distribution or reproduction of Off the Rails Uncensored will be a court fine of $45 and any likeness, use thereof, of Off the Rails Uncensored's title. Any Any objections? I don't fucking think so. All right. So I do not own the rights to Glasgow Cross, Nikki Cross, produced by Jim Johnson, World Wrestling Entertainment, 2019 Incorporated, produced originally in 2015-2016. Any reproduction or use of the likeness thereof to use it further than this as a theme for the show will be punishable by law. I understand these surroundings, or I understand these jurisdictions. Anyways, in my music, dig it. Begins my little question mark about AEW having two shows. It's not a good, it's not a bad, it's just an in-the-middle feeling about it, because when you look at the tail of the tape of WWE having two shows a week, actually now three, so I'm going to do my research on it, folks. I'm not going to be the fucker that sits there and just spouts off random things, all right? AEW, two shows a week on TNT. Wait, so AEW officially announces weekly primetime television show on TNT. We know that. Does AEW have a weekly show? October the 2nd, AEW will have a two-hour weekly TV show airing live on TNT in the United States. CBS Sports described AEW as the first company with major financial backing to take a swing, beginning to compete with WWE on a major level in nearly two decades. Okay, so a friend of mine at work described to me that AEW was contemplating having two shows a week. Is that an issue? When you just first start out, why not? Sky's the limit, right? You as a wrestling company want to identify yourself as the badass brand, the brand that doesn't fucking sleep, the brand that everyone can identify with and be with and totally be a part of and be participating in, you know. Now we have social media. Back then, WCW, the closest thing we had to social media, folks, and this is going to sound really sad, America Online. Okay. So when AOL took over, instead of, you know, shows being on TNT, it's one of those things sad in history with WCW, but we're looking at them, we're looking at AEW. AEW's got Cody Rhodes, Tony Khan, Chris Jericho, Kenny Omega, all, you know, creatively speaking, you've got Arn Anderson, Dean Malenko, Tully Blanchard. You have a list of people putting the shit together. And two shows a week is not unfathomable. It's just the fan in me, or the cynic in me, or the doubter in me wants to say, I hope you know what you're doing. And by the way, what's up, UK? What's up, Canada, Latvia, Indonesia, Australia, Austria, Mexico City, Tokyo, Japan, Italy? What's up, all of you? I decided to segue because WWE has SmackDown Live Monday Night Raw on Fox. So now that material for the premiere, I guess, believe, on October the 4th, and before that, you know, after that, how are we as fans going to deal with all this wrestling? Are we going to lose our shit? Are we going to shit our pants? Are we going to run around like, you know, kids that evaded putting me a diaper on? No. In my humble opinion, I think this is a good thing just to test the waters, you know, to have two shows. And not only that, but put into effect that wrestling as a whole is gaining attention. And for the first time, TNT is going to be like, oh, gee, I wonder what's on, you know, wrestling. Oh, okay. I'm not criticizing AEW, just WWE has more mainstream wrestling fans, though, purists, as I like to call them. They will flock to AEW because it's new, it's fresh, it doesn't hold back, there's no restriction. What else? The fact that they're running ratings, you know, in October just to say, well, you had a leg up on us for a whole month, but we still beat your ass in ratings. Is it going to be that type of deal? Gee, I don't fucking know. But I do know that Cody Rhodes just put a truck together of all the equipment and all the stuff that will be going down for AEW. And I do know that it looks amazing. That truck looks pretty good, if you ask me. Not just the truck. But the whole outlook for AEW. Some people may wonder why I didn't, you know, I haven't mentioned them. Here's the thing. I was on low sleep last night and still on low sleep today. Got a little bit more sleep than yesterday. But the point is, now I'm coherent and still rambling like a motherfucker. The thing is, you gotta understand something. I believe there's been some mishaps, you know, by placing certain bookings, you know, like matches, that is. The women should definitely be close to the main event and not main eventing all the time, but sometimes it feels like the main event really is lackluster up until the last tidbit of it. Like, to be specific, like, okay, let's place Seth Rollins and Braun Strowman in the main event that we saw at Clash of Champions. And it really didn't have any effect on fans until The Fiend came out and started shit, you know, with the mandible claw and Braun Strowman, and then proceeded to scare the fuck out of Seth Rollins. I mean, at least they gained an audience, right, out of the whole deal. But there needs to be improvement in placing certain matches, you know. Matches are getting more brutal, more physical. But will that hold up with AEW? Some of you say, well, AEW is going to beat the fuck out of WWE, blah, blah, blah. No, don't cream yourselves. You must wear a condom first, the metaphorical condom first. Because here's what I got to say. If you think that one company is going to destroy the other, that's your opinion, not mine. But I'm going to leave you with, if you didn't like what good old Brian Rails said, because look, I'm not going to outro just yet. But I do want to point out, there's always going to be that one person that just says something that catches your attention, especially about AEW. Well, if they had one match with one person, it would gain ratings. That's cute, but how are they going to keep that up for a whole year, 2 years? We'll see. Now, if you don't like what I had to say, because I'm hungry, folks, and I got to eat, but thank you, Blacktus, once again, then I got three choice words for you. No, let me redo that. If you didn't look at what I had to say and I cut it short, I didn't elaborate totally on AEW, all I'm going to say is competition is great for professional wrestling, and it's good because then more people have more jobs and more opportunities. That's all I'm going to leave it at. And if you didn't like what I had to say, now I got three choice words for you. Forget about it. Oh, and yes. Poodle bitches, I got to eat. How are you doing? Actually, better words. How's it going? Good night. Good morrow. Happy wrestling. and the fuckery is afoot. Dig it.